Listen to the sound of men shaving their balls before the age of Manscaped. Yeah! Those screams are a thing of the past thanks to Manscaped. No more cuts and nicks with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, featuring advanced skin-safe technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer, more satisfying shave. So many people have written in stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. They even included pictures so I could see the smoothness for myself. They aren't kidding. You need to try this out for yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. 20% off, free shipping to manscaped.com. Use the code VSIN. Your partner and your balls will thank you. Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Studies show that 70% of guys who experience erectile dysfunction don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online. Getting started simple. Go to GetRoman.com/bets and complete that online visit. Now, if your doctor decides that treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Go talk to the doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, but it's really important to get checked out. And with Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. Go to Roman.com/bets, B-E-T-S, to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/bets. One more time, GetRoman.com/bets.
It's been between 2 and 3 minutes. You know what that means. It must be time for more Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard on SiriusXM 204.
Welcome back into Follow the Money. I'm your host, Amal Shong, along with former Patriots and Browns executive Michael Lombardi. And joining us by phone right now from the Gold Sheet is Bruce Marshall. Bruce, I understand you're in that hotbed of tourism, Hoover, Alabama, at SEC Media Days.
Oh, it's bubbling down here, Mal. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bruce.
Yeah, it is. Good stuff down here. Saw your book at the bookstore here last night, Michael. So it's
really cool. Awesome. That's great. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm going to buy it too. But down in Hoover, they've just kicked it off. I got Steve Shaw, the director of officials, up there now, and the festivities really get going later. Kirby's coming up here in a little bit. He'll be the first coach up there today. But I'm looking forward to Jimbo, who shows up this afternoon, who has another career as an auctioneer if he doesn't want to coach anymore, because he talks in that rapid-fire fashion. And it is a little dangerous to be at Media Days, too, because if you're sitting in the wrong angle, when those TV lights reflect off of Paul Feinbaum's head, it can be damaging to your eyes.
I love it. Hey, Bruce, let me ask you this question. When you read or heard that the great Ed Orgeron hired John Robinson as a consultant, what was your initial reaction to that?
It threw me back a little bit, and it's funny because there's a lot of ex-Pac-12 coaches now who are showing up in the SEC. Rich Rodriguez and Mike McIntyre up at Ole Miss, and Robinson is now at LSU. It struck me. Then I realized there must have been some connection with Coach O and Robinson from Coach O's days at USC. And it was after Robinson had left, but they might have developed some sort of a relationship there. And sure enough, it was. And Coach O was talking about that yesterday, that he sort of befriended Robinson during his two stints. Both had two stints at USC, but Coach O had two stints there. Robinson has also moved down to Baton Rouge, apparently. And his wife is the biggest LSU fan in the world also. So he actually lived there. And he lives there now, and they got to talking, and Coach O just thought he'd bring him on as sort of a consultant and sort of an overseer. But they're apparently very good friends, and Robinson, I think, told, and I think this impressed Coach O, that Robinson told him, he said, you know, you're the first guy on staff at USC who has ever asked for my opinion on anything since I've left USC. So they're pretty good friends, and I think that had something to do with it, too.
In terms of the SEC, obviously Alabama's the class of that league, and we talked about LSU, but Michael and I both are kind of in agreement that they have tremendous talent. But do they have enough of the horses to be able to really get past the Crimson Tide this year? Or is there anybody else in the SEC West that you think could be a legitimate challenger to play in the championship game aside from the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, well, LSU will think it has a shot this year. Now, they did not fare too well against Alabama in that 29-0 destruction, which I thought was one of the more impressive efforts in all of college football during the regular season before we got to the bowls and Clemson put up that tremendous show against the Tide. But no, I think Alabama is certainly the favorite, and I just have a hard feeling, a hard time believing that LSU this year would have to go into Tuscaloosa and win. And is Coach O really going to beat the Nick Saban? There is I was talking to some guys last night down here who do radio stuff in Alabama, and their thought is that next year is when Alabama might first time be a little bit vulnerable. They're just projecting ahead, and they're thinking that Alabama's very loaded like normal this year, and that maybe next year is when you might see a little bit of erosion. That's down the road a bit, but they think Alabama will still percolate. Me, I think the one you want to watch here in the West is Texas A&M, which might be ready to make a move. And Jimbo, like I said, coming up this afternoon in his rapid-fire staccato delivery, will think he's got a swinging chance. One other thing in the West, it's an odd-numbered year, which means Auburn gets Georgia and Alabama at home. And those are the odd-numbered years, 2013 and 2017, when Gus has had his biggest years. So we'll see how that works out for Auburn this year. That's also the one coach, from what most people talk down here, it would be Gus, who is might be under more of the gun. You're always under the gun at Auburn, but they think he might be on the hottest seat entering this year.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, on my podcast, The GM Shuffle, I talked about Jarrett Stidham getting drafted and talked about how bad that offense was at Auburn, and it really caused Gus to go crazy, and he got mad at me for saying, and he says, like, you know, you tried to hire me 4 years ago when I was coming out. I was like, Gus, the reality of it was, you know, your offense 4 years ago hasn't changed. You know, people catch up to you. You know, it's like David Crosby said, your first album's good. It's your talents in your second album. So I do think the heat is on Auburn, and I do think they have to be able to change. How much will Gus allow the offensive coordinator to have a role offensively, Bruce, within what they're doing, or is it going to be the Gus show?
I think it's always going to be the Gus show, Michael. I mean, to a certain extent there. And like you said, you know, another coordinator in here. I mean, Dillingham now is the coordinator this year. The talk there is if Bo Nix can come in, the young quarterback, the new quarterback, if the pressure is going to be on him if he can step in here and give them something special. But you're right. I mean, it does seem like some of the conference sort of, you know, caught up with Gus. But he sort of refigured things out for a while there in 2017, and they were able to generate that momentum and the big games at home and pull out some magic there. But it might take something like that again. And by the way, the opener, pretty big opener for Gus. I think the whole tone of the season has set that opener at Arlington against Oregon. If Gus loses that game to the Ducks, I think that's maybe handwriting on the wall. This is not going to be a big year, and he could be in trouble. So that's one of those games. We'll sure be talking about that one, I know, at the end of August, and that's in the first big weekend, the big game at Jerry World.
Bruce Marshall, a Gold Sheet editor, joining us from Hoover, Alabama at the SEC Media Days. I agree with you. I think this game is critical for both conferences. Well, actually, more for the program for Auburn and more for the Pac-12 with Oregon having any opportunity of the college football playoff. And I felt like Malzahn was retained simply because the contract he had, I don't think Auburn wanted to pay the buyout. That's the only reason I think he's come back.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there certainly were conversations, and I think the money, but I think Bruce is right. I think it's all the pressure's on. Justin Ebert comes out and has a big day against the Auburn defense, and they get off to a good start. I mean, you know, Oregon beats them, and then all the pressure's back on Gus. And one thing we know about Gus, he listens. I mean, the one thing, if you're going to be a coach at Auburn, you got to block out all distractions, because it is a tough job. You're always – I mean, look, Tommy Tuberville won a chance, you know, and then the next thing, he's fired. I'm still waiting for Tommy Tuberville to call me back after I talked about Gus's offense. He was supposed to call me, and we were going to talk football, but we never did. He's too busy running for politics, I guess.
Bruce, we talked about the SEC West. In the SEC East, a lot of people have Georgia, and rightfully so, based on the track record of what Kirby Smart's been able to do do in Athens. But to me, I think they've lost some key pieces this year. I know the Gators have lost some critical pieces on defense as well, but I feel like the Gators are not as far away from Georgia as maybe some other people think. How do you see those two teams faring, or do you see anyone else in the SEC East? Because I feel like Kentucky's just lost way too much, even though I think Mark Stoops does a great job in Lexington.
No, I think it's one or the other, Georgia or Florida. And Dan Mullen, they did not beat Georgia last year, and that was maybe Georgia's best game. But they came on really good at the end. They whipped Michigan in the bowl game. And Dan Mullen, you could see his impact there. Florida should never have been as bad as it was 2 years ago in that last McElwain year, and they had all the change coaches midstream. And they straightened things out pretty quick. That's a perfect fit there. Mullen had been there before. Let's see how much more Felipe Franks can progress this year at quarterback. He was here yesterday. He's also a baseball player. That might be his future calling. And he was drafted as a pitcher by the Red Sox. So we'll see how that plays out. But, I think Florida is the challenger to Georgia. The rest of the division there, I think, could slide back a bit this year. Missouri, Kelly Bryant has transferred in, but they're on probation this year. No bowl game for Missouri, so this is going to be something you're going to want to watch. I agree Kentucky might drop back a little bit. Though interesting development, one of Troy's quarterbacks last year wasn't bad. Spencer Smith has just transferred there, and this gives Mark Stoops an extra quarterback there. But he's missing Benny Snell and, of course, Josh Allen from last year. I think Will Muschamp might be coaching himself into some trouble. Perhaps South Carolina, last year did not end well for the Gamecocks. They got routed by Virginia in the bowl game, and something tells me he better be careful. And Vanderbilt's not going to be that bad, but I'm not sure they're ready to challenge at the top. And they're going to be happy, as usual, getting to 500 at Vanderbilt. Maybe they will with the new quarterback from Ball State. But it's a Georgia-Florida show in the East for sure.
Michael, if I was the AD at Missouri, I would have fired Barry Odom when they played Oklahoma State in the bowl game, and they cut it to 10 points in the fourth quarter. And he didn't go for two, and he kicked the extra point to be down 9. I would have just fired him right then and there on principle alone. I said, there's no way I can have a guy leading us if he's not even smart enough to know time, score, and situation.
I think sometimes what happens is the coaches get so far in the forest they can't see the trees sometimes and the obvious. Remember, the secret to all victory lies in the organization of the non-obvious. Sometimes it's hard for them to see it. And I think, look, this conference, if you're in the Southeast Conference, right, and you're playing against Kirby Smart's a really smart guy.
Yeah.
Jeremy Pruitt's a smart guy defensively, both those guys. You're going to have to challenge yourself to be intellectually in the same category. Meanwhile, Ed Orgeron's running LSU's program, and you're wondering why they can't win some of these games. It's one thing to beat Kentucky and Vanderbilt. It's another thing to beat the best of the best. And if Nick has the same level of player as you do, he's going to beat you every time unless you're able to match him intellectually. And I think that's the biggest problem in the conference. Mississippi State, interesting team. Last year, they had so many guys drafted.
Oh, yeah.
How bad is it going to be a huge fall off, Bruce, because they've lost so many guys?
I think it might. And I think the general consensus down in there is they were a little disappointed in the Joe Moorhead last year. They thought they'd be a little bit better. I think there was a little drop-off after Dan Mullen. I think Fitzgerald's numbers dropped off some. The team lost 5 games last year, lost the bowl game to Iowa, and a lot of people thought that was going to be a year for Mississippi State to contend. And I like Moorhead's qualifications going into last year. And, he had been a head coach earlier, though, at a lower level at Fordham, but they just didn't ignite last season. So there's a little bit of concern there. They're going to give him some time to try to, get this thing built back up. But I think they're a little bit of disappointment in Starkville last year, that they were expecting more. And so they're keeping a pretty close eye on the situation with Moorhead. He's not on the hot seat yet, but there's some people there who were a little disappointed in last year.
I have to defend him a little bit in terms of Moorhead, because I thought the quarterback play was spotty last year, whether it was Nick. Yeah, exactly. You actually used a better word.
Nick
choice.
Fitzgerald. I mean, they or Keith Thompson. The ball.
Yeah. They neither of these guys to throw the ball accurately. They had a great play called against Florida, and they failed. I think it was a flea flicker they ran. Yeah. They failed to execute it. Defensively, I thought that team was national championship level.
They had a lot of guys drafted. I mean, look, and they were talented. It's just look, the one thing about Mississippi, Ole Miss, they have those years where they have a lot of really good players. They're never going to be great year after year, but there's always going to be a year where they have it. And like Bruce was saying, that year was Mississippi State's year, and they did a great job recruiting. And now, Mullen's over in Florida. I think Florida, Georgia, I'm with you. I think that Florida team is going to catch people by surprise. But Felipe Franks, to me, when it comes down to making the right tough throw, that always scares me to death. And I think Georgia, to me, is going to be this this could be Georgia's year. I think Georgia's so talented.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, yeah, you're right. And one thing about Mississippi State, when a new coach comes in like that, though, I mean, they weren't as good as they were the year before. And it was with most of the same guys. And that passing game didn't work last season. And when you, and it might be a factor, you're just comparing Moorhead to Mullen. And
That's right.
We know Mullen's an outstanding coach, and I think there was a drop-off there, and it's going to be up to Moorhead to show that he can do something. And you don't get a lot of time in the SEC, so they better start getting the offense going, like, real quick, or they're going to, the war drums are going to start to beat in Starkville pretty soon.
Bruce, as always, we appreciate the time. Safe travels back to Las Vegas.
Thanks,
and enjoy
Bruce.
The rest of SEC and
Drew,
media days.
Enjoy the book. Thank you, Bruce.
Very good, guys. Have a good week. We'll talk to you when I get back.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll get into some of our best plays here in baseball next.
More of Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard is on the way. But don't get left out on VSiN's new Point Spread Weekly. Find out more at VSiN.com.
Attention all homeowners in jeopardy of foreclosure. If you owe more on your home than it's actually worth, have missed one or more mortgage payments, have been denied a loan modification, or are facing foreclosure for any reason, you must listen to this message. A toll-free mortgage relief hotline's been established for anyone having their home lost in foreclosure. Just call 888-497-1876. And see if your home qualifies. We can help stop your home from going into foreclosure or even get your home out of foreclosure. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have faced foreclosure in the past year alone. This foreclosure defense group has helped thousands of people just like you fight the foreclosure process so they can stay in their homes. But you must call 888-497-1876 now to qualify. The call and information are absolutely free and the help is real. Don't lose your home. Call the Mortgage Relief Hotline now at 888-497-1876. That's 888-497-1876. 888-497-1876.